Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. My name's Vicky Hanlon.
And I'm Emily Tressider. Vic and Em's Comedy Gems.
Please don't.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, well, I'm going to put that in the back of my head for an organising of the show. One day, maybe.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you're the only one here with the effort to put this
yeah.
shit.
That's all right. There's a few in the
bank.
Thank you.
The back of your brain, the bank.
The bank. That's the chartered accountant.
Cash
work.
Money, Vicky Hanlon Bank.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. Hello, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tressider.
It's me, Emily Tressider.
It is you. You kind of gave that one a bit more oomph.
Yes, I'm really excited because this week's guest yes. is someone that I am so very happy to have on the pod.
Yay.
We really should have had them on earlier.
Yes.
It is the fantastic Anna Piper Scott.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
Welcome to Melbourne, even though it is very belated.
It's very belated. Welcome to Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah. No one's had me on a podcast in Melbourne yet.
Really?
This is the first one I've done.
Really?
I crushed this.
Yeah,
we win.
Scoop. We win.
Scoop.
I was offended, honestly.
Because everyone in Melbourne has one.
Everyone has a podcast in Melbourne, and no one wanted me. And I'm like, what is this? Bigotry.
Yeah, it's the Perth. They're like, oh, I don't know, Perth people.
Ugh,
it's yeah. I'm glad I'm being hated for being Perth rather than being trans. It's really,
no, that's fine. Being from Perth, though.
I mean, that thing you couldn't decide or choose, rather.
None of
has
the
really
things.
Fucked you.
Yep.
Fucked you up hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was born where I was born.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Your parents should have been better.
That's what Born This Way was about.
Yeah. Being from Perth.
100%.
Just Lady Gaga released that, and everyone in Perth is like, she gets us.
Yeah.
Love that.
I love it.
It is a pleasure to have you on the pod. You have been in Melbourne for a little while now.
Yeah, like 6 months.
Oh, wow. That's not even that long.
Yeah.
That's really a short period of time.
I was about to say,
it feels like a longer time because I have been crushing so hard.
And
it's
also
true.
No podcast. So it's just really just been taking the toll.
Yeah, yeah. It's just dragging day by day.
How
when will
this
I get on a podcast?
Not getting the podcasts. I get it. I really do. You absolutely have been crushing around the place, though. Definitely.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yep.
Every gig that I've seen you do has been phenom.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
I was unaware.
No. Blissfully unaware.
Yeah.
And now you're like, God damn it, I have to live up to the hype.
Yeah, I'm actually disappointed. I thought success would feel better than this.
It doesn't.
Nah.
So the knowing that thing going well is actually really disappointing.
Yeah. It's just a...
Is this what going well feels like? Because I feel like shit.
Oh, if that doesn't fill the hole, nothing will.
Yeah.
I mean, that's success for you, though. The more you have, the more you want.
The more you want it, and ooh, more you want.
We've gone deep already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never catch that dragon.
We're taking the Nanette turn very early in this show.
Yeah, we normally wait for 3/4 of the way through, and then, but nah, not this time.
Now, Anna, you've never been on the pod, but what we do on the pod is we each bring a story.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either be sandwiched. So I can do a story, you can do a story, Vicky can do a story, or you can go first, or you can headline the stories. It's so up to you. How do you feel?
I feel intimidated.
That's fair. I mean, she doesn't normally give the guest like
options.
The options.
Yeah.
So I feel grateful for that.
Yeah, but it feels, I'm going to be honest, Vicky, it feels a little unprofessional
to
do this.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
How
I'm like, I'm going to come in and they're going to have a structure.
And tell me
how to do my
podcast. This podcast longer than you have been in Melbourne.
And you still don't know how to fucking run it. Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely not.
Fucking
unprofessional. Look at Anna. Comes in here. Can't be a guest. Really thought you would have had more research about the level of swearing you could do in this podcast.
Which is literally whatever you want.
Great. Well, I'm not going to give you the option. I have something to say and I'm going to say it. So I'm going to say it out loud.
Perfect.
And just look, it's going to be quite obvious who I'm talking about.
Oh, well.
If you know anything about my career at all. So basically,
this is the end of her career.
Well, this is, yes. This is the end of my career as I know it. So hopefully you release this in a little bit of time.
Yeah, Vicky, I can
so
wait that for I can, it. Yeah.
Make the old announcement. So basically I've been at a luncheon today, or a lunch, if you will. I don't know. What's the difference,
what's
between,
the difference
a
between a
luncheon and
a luncheon?
I feel like a luncheon is like more official and there's like people there.
Okay, it was a luncheon.
There.
It was a luncheon. Yeah.
I feel like if it's just you and a mate having...
That's lunch.
That's lunch.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas if it's like a
company gathering.
Yeah.
That's a luncheon.
Yeah. I feel like if someone gives a speech, it's definitely a luncheon.
There was no speeches, but it was definitely a company of people.
But like if you're having lunch with one of your friends and you want to turn it into a luncheon, just give a quick speech.
Yes.
Stand
just
up.
Just a monologue about how that guy Spring on the dance glass. Floor was a real piece of
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
I went to this luncheon. Okay. Highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Rosé.
Yeah.
Second highlight. Greek food.
Great.
Big into it.
Yeah.
Lots of food. Lots of wine. Very happy, free. Yeah. Very big highlights.
Free food, always a highlight.
Definite low light.
Okay.
I feel like at some points in my life, mm-hmm. my life is like Honey and or another like musical movie.
Oh, right. I thought you meant the food.
No. Yeah. Well,
but you mean the Jessica Alba movie.
Yes.
Right.
But also both. Sometimes my life is like the actual Honey. It's so sweet, so smooth. Everyone loves me.
Okay.
But most times it's like the musical movie Honey.
Yes.
And or like the most stereotypical, like, I'm going to move to New York and become famous.
Okay.
And then everyone's a cunt to me.
So like Mariah Carey Glitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Christina Aguilera Belair.
Yes.
Side note. Are you impressed that I knew that Jessica Alba was in Honey?
Because yes and or no.
I've never seen that movie.
But you know me.
Definitely nothing in that movie that I would want to watch at all.
It's a very good film.
I feel like you don't
DVD.
Need to have watched Honey to
yeah.
know every single thing
yeah.
that happens in Honey.
That's exactly
Which
right.
Which is
yeah.
my point. Yeah? Because sure. in all of these films, there's one cunty straight white man
mm-hmm.
who, can we swear? Yes, we bloody can. Who comes through... And
was that you or was that your impression of the straight white man?
Well, a little bit of both, to be honest. Comes through and is just a real big asshole.
Sure.
And you, the smaller fish, feel like a fuck.
Yep.
So basically, the low light of my lunch was just having this person
yep.
be like, oh, did you say something? Sorry, I did not hear that because I only listen to important things.
I can't believe
but like,
that was literally
you,
a thing that was said to you.
Yes. But like... You brought me to this lunch. You're paying for my fucking Dolmades.
Yep.
And my rosé.
Yep.
And then the only thing you say to me at this lunch is,
I don't listen
oh,
to you.
Did you say something? Because I didn't hear it. I only listen to important things. Why though?
Why
am I here?
Why
are you there?
Yes.
I
good question.
I'm very confused by that.
It's yeah. dumb.
I don't understand anyone's thought process to talk to anyone that way.
No,
exactly. Well, I mean, just like, if he doesn't want to listen to you, he can just not listen to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to bring attention to
you
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but also, like, to be like, oh, I'm doing such a fantastic job of not listening to you, means you were listening to you and you just don't have a better comment.
Yeah.
Just also means like, I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear it because I do not have a comeback.
Yeah, because basically the situation was myself and a bunch of other people at this lunch were having like a bit of a personal joke lunch off. Like we were just, it was really, really fun and we were like sitting around making jokes with each other and it was awesome. And then this guy comes over after we've had these jokes for like 45 minutes, sits mm-hmm. down and we're still joking about it.
Yeah.
And so I say, oh, don't worry about it. We're just having a few personal jokes. To which he responds, oh, I'm not listening. Don't worry about it. Like, bleh.
I only listen to important things.
Like, start.
Sorry, I'll take out my headphones. I was actually listening to an audiobook.
Oh, God.
Fucking Honey.
Yeah.
the audiobook novelization of the movie Honey with Jessica.
So important.
I'm going to be honest. I'm with him on this one.
yeah, I mean, if
I
that's what
I
was
prefer
to
listen to that. Let's be honest.
That's
that's fair.
But yeah, so that was the low light.
Well, fair. If any of the listeners have any hot takes on that,
what if the thing he was listening to was this podcast? And he's like, I don't listen to you.
I highly doubt that.
Because I'm going to listen to you when you're working hard rather than enjoying.
No, I highly doubt that.
I would place all of my money, which is not a lot, but all of my money on the fact that this person has never listened to our podcast.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Also, how do you know something's not important without listening to it?
I mean, that's a really good point.
No, you know how he knew?
Because you were talking?
Because I am who I am. Yeah. To him, I am nothing.
Yeah.
And that is not on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting.
You could never be important.
Yeah, yes, nothing you say exactly is ever important.
I'm really, I really hope this is released a little bit later, but I really I really hope that in the future I am fucking crushing. Like everything I'm doing, I am crushing, and I can turn around and anytime he even looks in my direction, I can just be like, I'm so sorry. I can't look at you. I can only look at people that are important.
Can only look at famous people.
That's the dream.
Who is it?
Really, I cannot say it on this podcast.
Because you sound like you're like oh, you're acting like it's going to like damage your career right now without you having named the person.
I don't think it's going to damage my career.
She's mouthing Barry Humphries at me. I can't believe you just called out Barry Humphries on the podcast. Right?
That would actually, that would definitely not damage my career. Yeah. I think that would be
I reckon A-okay. I reckon we could name him.
I can't believe.
Yeah.
Or bad old Barry.
Bad old Barry.
As comedy actual icon.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't really know about that.
Like, I'll be honest, the only thing I know Barry Humphries from is when he was on the biscuits and the ice creams for a very short period of time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
They had some Dame Edna average branded things. Yes. I'm like, oh, these are nice.
Yeah. Isn't there still a street or something named?
No, I think they... No, there's Dame Edna.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Dame Edna.
It's an alleyway. I don't know what it's actually called, but...
Yeah.
There's actually a transphobia lane in Brunswick named after him as well.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess maybe that evens it out. I don't... I think the street should be renamed as well. Yes. In my opinion.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's my...
Ostentatious trash lane. Yes.
Yeah, ostentatious lane. Right. Name it after a true comedy icon.
Someone we
can all get behind.
Wow. Just a fun fact. He has 1,500 Twitter followers. Yeah, so shut the fuck up.
For someone who's an icon of the last 40 years of Australian comedy.
He has 1,500 Twitter followers and he's blocked all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually really insulted that I haven't been blocked by him yet because I've retweeted awful tweets about him and liked them and that's normally all it takes and he hasn't blocked me yet. Do I have to do?
Here's the problem. He only reads important tweets.
Exactly, right?
I'm so sorry, I wasn't listening. I only read important tweets.
He doesn't, though. His problem is that he responds to every single one.
Because he's got nothing else to do.
Yeah, yes, I know.
Please
it's amazing.
At me this episode.
Oh, I will.
How about this? Austin?
Oh. Yeah, I can't even remember what his real name is. Because I don't care. That's why.
It's Barry Humphries. Yeah, that's another Barry Humphries character.
You know what?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Oh, God.
But I guess that's that's my story of the week. Just fucking dickheads in comedy.
Yeah.
Bit over.
I mean, that's not specific to comedy. I think that's just business people, to be honest. There's a lot of
them. Yeah. That's why I said I want to make it big in Hollywood or any film that's about any type of minority trying to make it in the world at anything and then just some fucking huge CEO being like, not today.
Yeah, fuck you.
Ugh, hate that.
Always punch down. That's the rule, right?
It's so stupid because I don't understand what you think is going to come of that. My career trajectory is only on its way up.
Yeah.
I can't possibly be worse than I am now, right? Unless, of course...
She's so bad.
No, but you know what I mean? Every year you're getting progressively better.
Of course.
Yeah? And the only notes I've had from the show are it's way better than last year's show, right? It's amazing or it's way better than last year's show if they've seen both. So the only way I am going is this way, upward, yeah?
Yep, she's miming upward. That's what she said.
Yeah, I'm miming upward. I'm very good at podcasting. I've been doing it a while. And
I feel like you could hear the hand gesture in his face.
I think so too. I really think the energy of the tone of my voice really just...
It did get there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel everyone listening right now is I bet her hand is going for the air, a plane taking off.
Yes.
They pictured it. They didn't need me.
And
they don't need me.
So I just don't
We'll just
feel,
leave them at her kitchen on her own.
I think she'd be fine with it.
I just don't feel like there's any benefit to you fucking me off at this point, like making me angry at this point.
Yeah.
Because all I'm going to do is flip a table in your face and then become huge.
Sure. Yeah. And even like even
the hubris on this one.
Nah, but even if you didn't become big, you're definitely not the only person that he treats that way.
No, yeah, exactly.
So like someone he's treated that way and will become huge.
I can name one that's actually not a minority, but actually,
yeah,
just a fucking stone cold crusher. So
yeah, exactly.
Suck on those apples. Is that the term?
Sure.
Is that the phrase?
It is now.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
Well, you're big enough now. You know, the hand is high enough in the air that you can make it a phrase.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Hashtag suck on them apples. Make that a thing, guys.
Could everyone listening to the podcast just tweet hashtag suck on them apples at Ostentatious and you'll never understand what's happening?
Oh, I love
Why
that.
Why do people keep saying this?
So much. So much. I love that. Please, everyone do that. I know roughly the listenership of this, and if you all did it, that would be fucking incredible. So,
a good time. Yeah.
Well, just because people don't listen to podcasts all at once. Like, there's a bunch of people who are going to listen to this when it comes out.
Yeah.
But you're going to get a bunch of subscribers who, like, 7 months from now listening to this.
Yep.
And they're going to just ostentatious 7 months from now. It's going to be like, why do people keep saying this?
They've
been doing it for 7 months.
It won't stop. And I have to reply to all of them, and I don't know what to say.
Just hashtag suck on them apples and never explain it.
Oh, my God.
If he @s you, just be like, don't @ me.
Yeah, and then block him.
And then block him. Yeah. That's perfect. Anna, what's been happening in your world?
I've been just seeing stuff at the Comedy Festival, which is really boring for a comedy podcast. To be like, I saw shows and they were good.
Well, I mean, I didn't really get to see shows, and so I'm quite happy for everyone to talk about the shows that they saw in the Comedy Festival.
And when this comes out,
of course, jealous.
Like, if we recorded this a week ago, then people will be like, oh, I can still see these shows. But then it's like, if I just talk about it, it's like, you miss out on amazing things and they're never going to be seen again.
Yeah, we have a couple of listeners. Well, we have a lot of listeners from like either interstate or internationally, but a few of them that have messaged us and been like, this is really, like, I'm really jealous and I wish I could just be in Melbourne. I'm like, I mean, I'm in Melbourne and I didn't get to do it. So, you know, I'm with you.
I'll tell you a story from just before the festival.
Great.
Because it involves me and it's therefore much more interesting to me.
Sure.
Perfect.
So I did a gig at a kind of all women's lineup. Very fun. Very happy to be included. And I do this story that I've been doing for a little while where I talk about how everyone gets very angry and scared about trans women coming into women's bathrooms.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, they're going to molest the women, you know, because they can't do that already. and this isn't material, but it's something I've never understood. It's just kind of like, if you ban trans women from bathrooms, how in hell do you expect to police that?
Yeah, that's a strange
Like just having to, like, a guard at all the bathrooms, just doing a quick grope of everyone's genitals to make sure that they're fine, to make sure that no one gets groped. Like, it's like, how do you test it?
Very silly.
Look, if we're going to ban trans women, we need to make sure everyone has their birth certificate with them at every moment.
And they're not from a place where you're allowed to change your birth certificate.
Yeah.
And
I think it all just comes from this idea that kind of you can just tell by looking at someone whether they're trans or not. And you can't.
Nah,
you really can't.
Absolutely, though. You absolutely cannot.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was telling a story, and this woman who was competing in the lineup, again, this is going to be a podcast of us not naming names.
Sure. Yes.
But older woman, blonde, hippie, who started to kind of question me going, okay, well, I've got this trans woman who uses the gym, the changing rooms at my work, at my gym, where I go to gym, and was like,
yep.
I'm like, that's not different from bathrooms in any... Like, I don't know what she was expecting.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to be there going, oh, no.
Oh, well, that's different.
It's definitely different. We molest in change rooms all the time. Just never in bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bathroom, safe space, change rooms. Go for your life.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's so weird, right?
Super, super strange.
I was just like, I'm like, I don't know why she thought it was important distinction. Anyway, I ended up chatting to her for like half an hour.
Okay.
And kind of...
You have a lot of patience.
Yeah, a lot of patience.
How did you do that?
You're an absolute queen. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I try and kind of like approach transphobes with like love and empathy. Like I was saying this to Chloe Black earlier today, another trans comedian. Sure. We hang out together. No biggie. And we're not forming a revolution or anything. It doesn't matter.
Don't say anything. Yeah.
Why would I say that if we were doing that? I'm clearly definitely not doing that.
Reverse psychology.
Can we cut this out?
Yeah.
Nobody's hanging out with her, and I'm like, I feel like transphobia is in a weird place where anyone who's homophobic or racist now has made a definite decision, whereas most people don't know about trans people, so they're kind of like, if they're transphobic, right.
they're still
figuring it out.
Yeah.
And then there's still like a chance to save them with a bit of just facts.
Sure. Okay.
That's like a really, really positive way of looking at it. Yeah. Like a very optimistic way of looking at
it. I was going to say, that is a very optimistic way of looking
at it. Like 10 years from now, anyone who's a transphobe has like known enough trans people and they're just like committed to being hateful. Yeah. Anyone now is just kind of like they don't know.
It's ignorance.
Yeah. They only heard about trans people a week ago and they're still scared.
What is it? I don't understand.
The change rooms. anyway, so I chatted and kind of like explained very kind of, you know, trans women are more at risk than a risk and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And actually really moved the needle on her and she changed her mind.
Wow.
Which was great. And she gave me a hug.
Never heard, really, I don't think, of people's minds being like changed.
Well, maybe because, Anna, you're right.
Yeah. Well, obviously, but like...
Maybe.
Well, I mean,
definitely I'm right.
No, in the sense
that... Did I say something? Then it was right.
I mean, in the sense that people aren't necessarily aware enough to know what their position is and know that,
I guess that
their
my,
position
yeah,
is
I think that
wrong.
my thing is that people usually are so stuck in their, no, I'm right, and it doesn't matter what they hear, whether...
Wait, is it Anna?
No, but you know what I mean. It's like...
She said something. She's right.
I didn't come here to be called out. Like
Well, you came to the wrong podcast. No, but you know, like, because people, like, I guess it's more probably internet arguments than it is face-to-face arguments.
Yeah,
probably.
I think internet arguments are different.
Fucking crazy.
I mean, I still try and respond to everyone with love and empathy and facts.
Sure.
Facts are very helpful. And the facts are always on my side.
Mm-hmm. Which makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Because I'm right.
Exactly.
No, I find that my policy with, like, internet arguments is going... the person I'm arguing against is I'm not going to have to change their minds, but there's a bunch of people lurking in the comments. Because, I mean, if you're anything like me, you've read a bunch of Facebook arguments that you've not participated in.
They're all just the time.
Just like coyly looking at and picking a side. Because usually the ones you don't participate in are the ones you don't know about.
Yes, sure.
So if I'm the one who's funny and right and, you know, got the facts and not resorting to insults, then people are like, oh, this bitch seems to know what she's talking about.
Sure, totally. And my biggest grievance with those ones is that the person who you're arguing against can just all of a sudden just delete everything, and then all of your hard work that you've put into that just disappears.
Yeah.
And all those people that were lurking just don't get to see it anymore.
Yeah.
Because there was a particular incident that happened on Facebook that wasn't, it was a racism argument, not a like homophobia or transphobia or anything. It was all race related stuff. And because the original wrong person started the comments and then all of the comments followed from that, he could just delete that whole thread. And then it was just gone. And I was like, so many people took so much time and effort to try and talk to this dude. And instead of leaving it up there and letting everyone sort of just go on and have a look and, you know.
My feeling about that is I don't think people delete a comment thread where they're convinced they're right.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they,
no,
they
no.
delete it maybe when they're pretty sure they're right, but if they've deleted, there's some doubt in their mind like where they've gone, oh, this looks bad.
Yes.
The fact that I seem very racist in this thread is bad for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even that counts as a win in my mind.
I guess so, yeah. So well, this particular person did DM the original poster and give a real half-assed not apology. Of like, I'm sorry you were offended.
I can't believe Barry Humphries.
I know,
would do that.
Right? He's just the worst.
That's really wonderful though that conversation ended in
I think
happy...
so that's not the end of the story though.
Oh no.
No, it gets better. So she was like, okay, thank you so much and thank you for taking the time, and she like seemed really grateful.
Yeah.
She gave me a hug and she's like, are you gonna be here like still in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, don't go anywhere, I'll be right back.
Okay.
And then she comes back and you need to realize earlier in my set I did this joke where I'm like, I'm so new to Melbourne, I don't even have a weed contact yet.
Right.
So she's come back with a bag of weed for me.
She paid you.
Yeah.
For your labor.
For my emotional labor. Yeah. Like, I got, like, and a lot of weed. It was, like,
That's great.
When we rolled it out later on, it ended up being, like, 7 or 8 joints worth of weed.
Wow.
And I'm like, fuck me dead.
This is why you have those conversations with people.
Yeah.
You and can get stoned. And that particular bit as well.
And I've never needed to be more stoned after a conversation. Oh, yeah. So it was a real fucking gift. It was very appreciated.
That's beautiful.
That is really actually quite beautiful, yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of like in my head now, every time I'm doing emotional labor from now on, I'm like,
I better get a bag of weed out of this.
This is worth at least 5 joints. Yeah. Come on.
I had to explain to you not to use my old name. You owe me a joint.
Yeah. Yes.
At least 2 joints, please.
Yeah. If you can't afford to, if you can't send any money to my PayPal, just give me one of your joints.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And that's I just give me some money to buy weed at the very least. Like, but how good is that?
That is great.
That's really quite great.
That is
one
of the best stories that I've heard. Like that started in a
pretty horrible way.
Pretty horrible.
Because I mean, like your natural instinct when someone comes up to me, like, explain this to me right now. I know you've got places to be, but I demand an explanation. Yeah. Just be like, fuck you, and give them like a snarky comment, especially when you're a comedian and snarky comments are how you shut down hecklers.
Yeah.
But I told her, I just, I'm like, I sat down and explained it and kind of like, you know, batted away all her objections. And, and I think what really helped her was having language of like, I see where you're coming from, but you're wrong, rather than just you're wrong.
Right. I understand how your thought process has got there.
Yeah.
However,
yes. It is incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of like all these people need sometimes. Sure. I feel like some people are like, you're an idiot. It's like, no, I got to my wrong conclusion through logical reasoning.
Yep.
But yeah, I also think that sometimes, like, this is no excuse for sure, but I think sometimes people talk out things before they even understand what they think about that thing.
Yeah.
Like, I've got friends that will say something out loud and I'll be like, that is silly.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, but why? I've just said this all out loud and it makes sense in my mind. And I'm like, okay, well, let's backtrack to this one thing you said. That's wrong.
Let's go from
what
there.
About that next thing you said? Because of that first thing you said, that's still wrong. Like,
yeah.
And then once you talk it out with them, and they're also like involved in that conversation, I feel like they can be like, oh, okay, I'm a talker to learn.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously every situation is totally different, but I do think that there are people in the world that are like that.
There's definitely people like that.
And yeah. I think maybe so the problem with like a lot of internet arguments is like these people just have no real...
outlet?
Not outlet, but no real, like, people are just, like, keyboard warriors are going to say whatever the fuck they want and someone else can comment back at them and they're like, yeah, cool. But, like, there's no actual repercussion. But, like, in a situation, Anna, where you're in that conversation, this person is looking directly at you. You have obviously personal invested interest in this subject. So you're not just going to say shit out of nowhere. You're going to be like, well, actually, let's look at this, this, and this. And they'll be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, if they can see it affecting a real person in front of their face... It has a lot more.
Well, yeah. Impact. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it's case to case. But I think that definitely the internet makes there it very are easy to be disassociated.
Obviously.
Totally. But it's super easy to be disassociated with what you're saying on the internet.
Of course.
Yeah. And that's why I'm very, very not into social media and commenting on anything really at all.
I get this stuff all the time though as well, especially after gigs.
Yeah.
Because I think most people have heard of trans people, but they haven't very often seen one in the wild. Like, I thought they were just a myth. So I get when they see me, and the fact that I'm kind of on stage and I've got a very kind of like techno prisoners, very swaggery kind of style, and they're kind of like, well, if I offend this person, she can take it. Like, I don't seem fragile at all. So I think they're very kind of like, okay. And the fact that I'm right about everything helps.
Also,
well.
That does help,
I don't know why I keep saying it to you, Emily. Like, people can't see on this podcast, but whenever I say I'm right, I look at Emily.
I mean,
I need to tell you, Vic knows. Vic knows, I'm right.
Aware.
Emily, you need to understand.
Yeah, no. I'm still like 50-50 on this, actually, guys.
But I think that sort of comes from the place where, like, a lot of men will approach women after comedy, like, female comedians after gigs anyway, and be like, even, like, cis women, and be like, I'm going to talk to you after, because you're the person that I can relate to. Not relate to, but, like...
No, talk to in a way that... Yeah. I'm going to feel superior.
Yeah, that's right. I can have the upper hand talking to the chick.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. You
know? And, like, and she's the one who could use my feedback.
Yeah,
yeah, you know? 100%.
I feel like the other guys don't need it because they're guys. Exactly. They'll figure it out.
I feel like it's an extension of that confidence.
Yeah.
to be able to come up to you and be like, well, I'm going to talk to you about it.
But I mean, like, men seem to avoid me after shows.
Yeah, right.
Which I don't, I mean, there's part of me that will always joke that I think they're worried it's contagious in some way.
Well, but you're probably right. I mean, but you're always right.
You are
women
want
to talk to me. My favorite one, this happened a while ago, was I did a set back in Perth, and for anyone who's listening, most of my set is just kind of like just personal autobiographical stuff, like
very funny.
Yes, very funny and very right. beat that joke into the ground. And this woman came up to me afterwards. She's like, I loved your set so much. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. She's like, I just love how political it was. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. And just like, you're just up there and just like, it was so political. I'm like, it's just my life.
Yeah.
Just my life.
Your existence has to be political now, does it? Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's gone, I just love diversity.
Okay.
And then she gave me a hug and she left. And I'm like, what up?
She's trying to be so, like, she thinks she's been so lovely and wonderful and everything. Because I was complimenting you.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
Just love how political you are. I'm like, it's not political. It's me talking about how I've got my nephew. Life. And it's nothing. Like, I don't say who to vote for. I don't mention any policies. Like, it's just the fact that I exist is, like, super fucking edgy and woke. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, like, a thing of, like, people who say they don't care about politics are the people that don't have to care about that. So that's her way of saying, I care about what you're going through, maybe.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, it was nice, but it's also weird.
It is very weird. It is very weird.
Just to, like, that I'm up there not doing jokes about my life and doing jokes about diversity.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God.
Speaking of diversity, nah, not really, probably. Sure. Vic, do you have a story?
I don't have a story as such as I have a question for Anna.
Okay.
Okay.
Out of, like, with no prompting. Is it a good DJ set if you just play one band?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Am I settling a wager right now? I feel
that, I'm just interested to find out.
Because again, listeners at home, I'm getting two very expectant looks from both of these. So
I'm just, if you were going to do a DJ set... And then you just decided to essentially just play a greatest hits album of one particular person. Is that a DJ set or is that just a DJ of greatest hits of a particular person?
You sound genuinely like you don't have an opinion yet and you just want to hear my response.
Yeah, I just want to hear what you're going to say.
I think it's a greatest hits album, isn't it? I used to make mix CDs a lot when I was younger.
Me too.
It's how every single girlfriend I've dated has gotten a mix CD from me.
That's so lovely.
Because how else do you express love?
Yeah, I mean, I met my current girlfriend way after anyone has CDs. But I'm like, I've done one for everyone else, and I feel like you're the one who's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I should probably still make you one.
So I had to get to like a CD burner from someone and borrow it and like reinstall iTunes.
Wow.
And like download songs.
That's commitment. To the bit. That's commitment.
I got a mix CD for my boyfriend too.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
But I feel like you can't have more than one song from artist on a mix CD.
Okay, that is ludicrous.
Not ludicrous.
Ludicrous, but one time.
Yeah, one time.
No, but I think that's ludicrous because someone like Beyonce has so many bangers.
I know.
If you've got an hour DJ set, I think this is, correct me if I'm wrong, I think four Beyonce songs are so fine.
I feel like the most I could allow you as the official arbiter of what's allowed in the DJ set.
Sure. Yes, yes.
As designated by Vicky.
Yep. I gave you this power.
You're allowed a Beyonce song and a Destiny's Child song.
That's insane. That's actually insane. Have you seen that Beyonce has released a new Netflix film?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I
will. Yeah, it's literally the most fucking phenomenal thing I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
but you're not going to put that as your DJ set.
I know it's not for me, but I fucking love it and it's so empowering and I just feel like a lot of people need to fucking hear Beyonce, okay? I've got a lot of qualms about your 2-song limit. Some bullshit. This is some bullshit.
Just play the Netflix documentary and count that as your one song.
I would love that. And actually, Spotify has a whole playlist of just the Netflix documentary songs. And you can just put them on shuffle. Bam, there's your night. We've done it.
We've done it?
Get out of here. Both of you, just get the fuck out.
So you're saying that no one but Beyonce deserves to be on that playlist? That she's the only worthy artist?
According to myself in this present moment, yes. Destiny's Amazing. Child, sure. I'll allow it.
Because I like, this is very egotistical. This is very, also very Nick Hornby and High Fidelity.
Sure. Yes, I love it.
It's not a great look for me, I'll be honest. I feel like every time you're doing a DJ set or a mix CD, it's autobiographical in a certain extent.
Yes.
And if you put like more than one song from the same artist, you're just kind of going, this is all there is to me. I'm very boring.
I mean, I am quite boring. I like what I like and I know what I know.
It just feels like you're putting out like, hi, I just want to let you all know how basic I am for just 1 hour.
I am hella basic.
French onion dip.
I'm so basic. Stassi from Vanderpump Rules, this is how basic I am, released a book called, I think, like Basic Bitch or like Channel Your Basic Bitch or something. And I'm like, I definitely could have written that book.
I don't know.
I mean, the fact that you know
exactly
what Vanderpump Rules is and that there's a book from it.
Yeah, I don't know who or what those things are.
I speak my truth. I know who I am.
It's just, yeah, anyone who's gotten to the point where they're holding that book is already as basic as they need to be. Like, they don't That's need further point. Instruction.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I don't own the book, but I know that it exists.
Yeah, right.
So
fair enough.
I know where I'm at. I love who I am.
Look,
oh, I'm not saying
honestly,
don't love
reading
anyone.
A book would probably make you a little less basic. So.
That's true.
I've never maybe, done it myself, maybe but should, I guess I could try.
You were asking me whether a Kindle was a worthy investment for your trip overseas. Maybe you should do that just so you can read
I've
these.
Already vetoed it.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Just download it and review it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Do a Vanderpump Rules special episode.
I don't think Vicky would be on board with that.
I don't know what it is, so I can't say
reality
yes on
television.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, I don't know what it
we
is.
We don't need to
so
go
it's
into
about,
it right
it's
now.
About this person called Vanderpump.
Mm-hmm.
And she rules.
Yeah, great.
That's actually not very far from the truth.
But it's also, I think it's also like maybe a little bit Jordan Peterson of like, here are the rules.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know? Also, so like rules is like a double meaning.
Right.
That's why it's a great show. It's just there's a lot of layers to it.
There's a lot of layers to it. Yeah,
there
right.
really truly
the
is.
The subtext is where it's really at.
Okay. A lot of like,
is it
growth and
Lisa?
Yes.
Vanderpump?
Yes.
Ha ha! I did it! Is she like property person?
Sort of.
Okay. What is she?
She owns bars and restaurants.
Okay.
Which are technically property.
They are property.
Yes.
I thought
but
she
more
was
hospitality.
Okay, right. No, okay. I thought she was like real estate, but okay. No. Hospitality.
The Strip in Beverly Hills.
Oh, really?
Or like LA? Is Beverly Hills LA?
Yes. Well,
yeah,
it's
so sort, like yeah. LA Strip or whatever.
I'm so annoyed because I know this is all being saved into my brain and I'm definitely going to remember.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. That could come in handy at a trivia night. So everyone don't fuck with me.
So she starts talking about like Jersey Shore and tell me what you watched in the park the other day.
The season finale reunion of X on the Beach.
X on the Beach. That's what it was.
I am who I am, Anna. Leave me alone.
Anyway, so we're DJing. Not that this matters time-wise to this podcast, but we're doing a DJ set tonight,
yes,
Emily.
Yes.
And I had one Beyonce song in my list. I did. And now I feel like I can't have that Beyonce song in my list because
what was the song?
Crazy in Love.
Okay, good choice. But that also has
Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay-Z.
Yes.
So
you're like, oh, it counts as a Jay-Z song.
Yeah, I think it counts
it's
as a
Beyonce
Jay-Z
song featuring Jay-Z.
Or is it the other way around?
No, it's a Beyonce song.
You know,
featuring
that is the
Jay-Z.
Song and the film clip where they met and they've been married ever since, or like together ever since.
I mean, honestly, I would put one. I would feel even putting Solange after I've got Beyonce on the song would be too much.
Nepotism, I can't do it.
Just
I just want everyone to have a good time, and I know Beyonce has a good time.
Yeah, but like there's other good times. She's not the only good time. Like
if you want to have a good time, put in Africa by Toto. I guarantee that.
I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Well, you can do that. I mean, it's a shared DJ set, so Vicky can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Except veto your fault.
Yeah. So it'll be
no, 100%. You can veto my songs if you really Toto, hate them as well.
Beyonce and then Jefferson Airplane.
I honestly feel like I'm in the middle of an argument, and it's not my case.
Yeah,
fault.
I mean, you've come in at a really awkward time. I'm actually currently emailing my lawyers. How the fuck do I get out of this podcast? Speaking of getting the fuck out of places, Anna, you are from Perth.
Yeah.
And you got the fuck out of Perth.
I did get the fuck out of Perth.
Let's talk. Yay. I guess it's a little bit different probably because you've had almost two stints in comedy in Perth almost and then come over to Melbourne and also been doing comedy here. So I was going to say, what are the differences between Perth and comedy, Perth and Melbourne comedy in terms of gigging, I guess, how often you can gig?
It's a very complicated question.
I was going to say that there's a lot to that question.
And I'm really not like persuaded that any of the answers are interesting.
Okay.
So Perth is it's a very isolated place. Mm-hmm. But I was gigging there for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I transitioned partway through that.
Yep.
Right near the tail end. So I've experienced all different facets of that scene.
Yeah, exactly.
And for anyone who particularly cares about the arts community in a very small regional town called Perth, it's tiny. It's isolated. That isolation can breed weirdness, but mm-hmm. it also sets a very firm ceiling on how high you can get.
Sure.
And the scene has kind of evolved. It used to be that Perth would kind of like breed all these weirdos, would then come over to Melbourne, and then Melbourne would be like, who the fuck is this person? Where have they come from?
Yeah.
You know, great weirdos like Ben Russell and Xavier Michelides, where it's like...
The best weirdos.
Yeah. But like a kind of weirdness where it only comes from... being in a town where no one's watching.
Sure.
And you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about there being a TV agent or, you know,
someone
special in the audience. You're like, I can do something stupid and ridiculous just for the sake of it. And I don't have stress.
I'll have fun. It'll be great. And that's it.
Yeah. But that's kind of changed in the age of social media because everyone's connected to Melbourne. Everyone's doing festival shows way earlier than they should.
Oh boy, are they.
Yeah, and it's kind of this thing of like, now people are like, oh, I've got to get as much stage time as possible so that I can be the best. And so I can be, but they aren't using it well.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like, I'm going to do...
Well, that happens in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's just people, like, I think having too much stage time is a bad thing.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation with a few people on the
board. I think... having a lot of stage time is great if you're using it smartly.
Yeah.
But if you're getting up there and doing the exact same joke the exact
five
same
times
way,
a night, dumb.
Then you haven't learned anything apart from confidence, which you'll learn within
anyway,
6 months anyway.
Yeah.
You haven't learned how to that. You haven't figured out the best version of that joke because you aren't doing any different versions of that joke.
Yeah.
You're like, I've got to make sure it works in front of 100 audiences before I change it. It's like, well,
no. Silly. Yeah. Silly.
But yeah, Perth is rapidly becoming a bit of a boys club as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in Melbourne complains about Melbourne comedy being a boys club.
I absolutely disagree. Because I think Sydney is such a boys club. I think I can definitely see Perth being a boys club.
Melbourne's matriarchal.
I think Melbourne is fucking...
It's definitely turned a corner in the last 2 years.
Yeah, but I'm coming over here and I'm performing on lots of lineups that... Like, the only time I've been on a women's only lineup in Perth is when it was like, we have put a women's only lineup together.
Yeah,
but right. I just happened to be on women's only lineups where it's just the booker's like, oh, fuck, I didn't even realize that there weren't any men here.
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the, you know.
They're just kind of like, they put together a very talented lineup and sometimes there happens to be a lot of women.
Yeah.
And yeah, correct.
And, and like, I've done shows here where I'm the third trans woman to be on the bill.
Yeah.
And that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, which means that I get up there and I can do material that doesn't have to explain who the fuck I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is what I normally have to do when I am the first trans woman on a bill. Yep. Is I have to be like, hello, you're confused. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Which I think like years ago, that was when a woman, like a cis woman, would get up on stage and be like, hi, I know that I'm not a man on stage. I just have to explain why I'm here, what I'm doing. And we've kind of finally grown out of that. But now you have to do that for your...
But I do appreciate the fact that all the women have gotten up before me, so I don't have to explain being trans and being a woman.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a little win.
Yeah. And I don't have to explain being a lesbian because there's a bunch of lesbian comedians who've done that for me.
Yeah.
So
you can be the person that's doing it for the future trans people.
You're right. I am a hero.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Speaking of being a hero.
You're right. I am courageous.
Yeah.
Speaking of being so courageous. Brave, Anna? This is so brave. A very important part of the pod. We have reached the section of the pod that we like to call hypothetically yes.
We did it.
Where I ask you a hypothetical question based on our chats today. Anna, are you ready?
Not at all. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So, would you rather every day of your life you have to correctly explain to someone what Vanderpump Rules is every day?
Fuck me, Dad.
Or every time you go out to have a little bit of a boogie, Beyonce is played at least 7 times.
Oof. So how many times do I have to explain Vanderpump?
Every day.
Every day.
Once.
And you can't do it like sassy or like... Like,
it's sincere conversations. Yeah, you're, yeah.
I have to genuinely seem like I give a shit about it.
No, you don't need to care, really, necessarily, but you need to get it right. Like,
I have to genuinely like, care about getting the details
yes,
accurate.
Yes. Like, you have to say it correctly.
Like, hypothetically, someone says, is Lisa Vanderpump a property person?
Yes.
And then I go,
no.
Yes.
She's in hospitality. She owns property, but it's very different.
Perfect.
I mean, I can't imagine what someone doing that would sound like.
Yeah, it's weird to think about.
Oh my God, it's me, Emily Chesner!
Look, I'd be fine listening to Beyonce 7 times. It just feels a bit lacking in variety.
Okay, so you'd be like, fine with every time you go out, you can dance to 7 Beyonce
like this,
tracks.
This feels like me threatening you of going like, every time you go out to get ice cream,
yep.
It's going to be chocolate ice cream. And you're like, well, I like chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, chocolate ice cream.
I like other kinds of ice cream. I'd like to have more than just chocolate ice cream.
But I'll
take
the chocolate ice cream.
It's not a massive curse. It's not like you have to have cockroach ice cream. Like,
yeah.
Cockroach ice cream.
Yeah, maybe I should have done like 7 of someone's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Like, if it was Lisa Vanderpump's music, then I'd be
also
having a real...
going out.
Or Lala like, Kent from Vanderpump.
Depending on where
Rules.
You go, you're probably going to hear 7 Beyonce songs anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's true. If you bar hopped, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I usually don't even have to go to a nightclub.
Exactly.
If you just walk around streets on a Friday or a Saturday night, you will hear
you'll
drunk
hear
girls singing 7 different Beyonce songs.
100%.
She is...
Well,
just yelling all the single ladies, put your hands up. And like, you don't need to put your hands up. We know.
We know. We're aware.
We could tell.
All right, Anna. One yes. final question. Same question that we ask of all the guests. What are your thoughts on Spider-Man?
Oh, fuck. I don't know if we've got enough time in the podcast. Can we just start a whole hour again?
Yeah,
I have a lot of thoughts about
really?
Spider-Man. Fucking love Spider-Man.
Yeah?
I just watched Into the Spider-Verse like a month
how
ago.
Good is
it's
it?
So good.
It's so good.
It's not anything funny here. It's just fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And then like there's like thousands of other Spider-Man. I've been researching this recently. Like all the different other like Spider-Men that are out there and Spider-Women and all these different like Spider-Personas and... You know, I was fucking psyched. I'm literally like, I feel like the only person I know who knew who Spider-Ham was
before the Spider-Verse.
I'm like, finally Spider-Ham, yeah! I was fucking going crazy. I was like more psyched for that than the, like the
fair
whole.
Fair enough. And
whole,
also John Mulaney, perfect voice.
Yeah, the
for
whole
that.
Spider-Verse. And again, like I'm the person who was like, I'm so glad they cast Spider-Ham correctly.
Yeah, but
I was really worried. Like, no.
What if they fucked Spider-Ham up? Oh, my God.
And then everyone's going to think Spider-Ham sucks when he's so good.
Love that.
I was so psyched. Yeah. I like the whole movie, like, because, like, the first half hour, like, spoilers, no Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
I'm like, where the fuck is Spider-Ham?
Where is he? Where is he?
Oh. I demand answers. I want a refund. So if I care that much about Spider-Ham, you can imagine how much I care about everyone else.
That's
Spider-Ham.
Fair.
Yeah. I'm very
good. I'm into this. This is great.
I'm really excited for the new Spider-Man where they're like taking him to Europe.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting.
That trailer looks really good.
It's because there's Mysterio. I fucking love Mysterio. Do you know about Mysterio?
It's Affleck, isn't it?
No, it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. That's what it is. Yeah. I was like, wait, it's someone big name. And then, yeah. Because I'm assuming that they're going to be like, he's going to be like, Mysterio, oh, he's my partner. And then all of a sudden he's bad. I assume that's the
No, so the whole gist of, like, Mysterio in the comics is that he's a special effects artist.
Yes.
Who's sick of people making fun of him and not getting enough credit. He's like, I'm going to make myself famous by using my special effects to pretend I'm a supervillain.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it seems like they're doing that, but they're going to have him pretend to be a superhero.
Yeah.
So he's be like, look at me saving the day. But it's just his, like, fucking holograms that he's fighting against.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, doing, like, a, what's his face from The Incredibles? Syndrome.
Yep. Syndrome. That's his name. Syndrome.
It also
I'm hearing myself now, and I now understand how if you listen to me, that's how I felt listening to you talk about Lisa Vanderpump. I'm just like, wow, she's really fucking invested in this meaningless bullshit.
We are who we are.
Yeah, exactly. We are who we are.
You care about reality TV, whereas I care about shit that matters. Mysterio Spider-Man.
The important things in life.
And I thank you.
Silly trash.
No, yeah, totally. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, you're always right, so it makes sense.
It's true.
Yeah, and I'm into cool things.
So much for being on Vic and Em's Comedy Jams. Yay. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's you so are a gem. Fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. And thank we you. Will speak to you soon.
Yay. Bye.
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 This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.